Hello, Sartell St. Stephen community. This is Mike Rivard, your superintendent, and I'm excited to welcome you to another episode of Saver Speaks podcast. Today, we're focusing on an important investment in our schools, question one of the proposed referendum to address indoor air quality upgrades and HVAC improvements at Riverview Intermediate School. This referendum represents a vital opportunity to ensure Riverview continues to serve as a cornerstone of our district, providing an effective learning environment for our students and our staff. To help us dive into this today, I'm joined by three outstanding leaders who bring unique perspectives on this project. First, I'm excited to introduce Dr. Zach Dingman. He's our principal at Riverview Intermediate School. Dr. Dingman will share some insights on how this project directly impacts the learning environment and the daily experience that our students and staff have. We're also joined today by Joe Prom. Joe's our Director of Business Services. Joe brings his expertise in finance and will help us understand a little bit about the financial aspects of this project, including the importance of planning for long-term sustainability. And finally, we have Jesse Plagan. He's our Director of Buildings and Grounds. Jesse oversees the facilities across our district. He's a longtime employee, and he's going to provide valuable information about the current challenges of Riverview and how these proposed upgrades will address critical HVAC needs. So together, we're going to explore the concerns and how this referendum question impacts our students, our staff, and our entire community. Let's get started. The first question I do have for Zach. Zach, what challenges currently do staff and students face daily due to the current HVAC system?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Rivard, for inviting us here to talk about our current system at Riverview Intermediate. So the main obstacle that we have is, you know, our system, most of it is original to 1969, and it causes a few obstacles. And those obstacles that I'll talk about are the temperature, the humidity, and air circulation. So, Dr. Rivard, when we take a look at the obstacle with temperature, our biggest obstacle is that and our inability to control the air temperature throughout the building, and even, Dr. Rivard, from room to room to room. So we can, at some points, depending on the time of the year, we can have rooms that differ 5, 10 to 15 degrees, and that's all because of our system and the way it's antiquated and not necessarily reading right. We don't know if dampers are open or if they're closed, and we can have a wide range. This fall, we had some rooms in the mid-70s, while we had some up to the mid-80s and higher than 86 degrees. And again, that was rooms that are only a couple doors down from each other. And, you know, we've also had, you know, time in the winter when we've gotten to school and some of our rooms are in the mid-50s. And again, and that's just because of the system being antiquated and us having an inability to really have control of the temperature across the building and from room to room. And the other obstacle is the high humidity. In the spring and fall, it's not uncommon to see like some carpet bubbling, posters peeling or falling off the wall. We have our ceiling tiles, they kind of curl, and then we have condensation and water spots on them. Another thing with the high humidity is it causes slippery tiles. When you come into Riverview, whether that's the front or the back side, we have those ramps that come up right away, and those get very, very slippery. And unfortunately, we have had staff and students slip and fall because those tiles get pretty slimy during that humidity. So, which brings us to the third obstacle, which is air circulation, which ties into that high humidity. It's just not conducive to learning. Our system can't take out the humidity when it comes into the school. So what we get from nature is what we get in the building, right? So in order to make that air circulation and the building feel better, we oftentimes have fans running down our hallways into classrooms. That has caused, again, like this fall, some areas of the building to lose power because we've tripped some breakers, right? Because we've had so many fans going. And it also, when we have those fans going, if you're, you know, even towards the back of the room and a teacher has a fan blowing in their room, it's really hard to hear the instruction. And it's hard, and the kids really, really try to have to focus and pay attention because they're trying to overhear above the fan, but then also, you know, potentially sitting in a room with high humidity or a fluctuation of room temperature from room to room. So those are the main obstacles we have right now with our current system, again, which is mostly original to 1969.
You know, I appreciate you, Zach, kind of sharing what, almost painting a picture of what some days at Riverview can look like. Riverview's been with us for a long time and has been called some other things. So it's been a cornerstone of our community since 1969, Zach, as you alluded to. Jesse, how has it served our students, staff, and families over the years from your perspective as being a long-term community member?
Hi, I'm Jesse Pagan. Thank you, Dr. Brevard. And hi, everybody. I've been a part of this Sartell community my entire life, first as a student and now an employee for almost 30 years. This building has literally been everything since it was built in 1969. It was the first school built when the district kind of became consolidated. It was originally the high school. It's been a middle school, and now it currently serves intermediate students. I believe it was an elementary too. Mm. But we built four additions to the footprint of this building. We replaced carpets. We've painted walls. We've replaced the roofs on it. The building is actually in really good shape overall. I mean, it's got good bones to it and a good structure. But the way we deliver air and heat to the classrooms, that system, when it was put in 1969, has kind of run its course, and we're having some issues with it.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving us context on that, Jesse, because it is a 55-year-old building, and we expect that it's going to continue to serve our community of Sartell and St. Stephen for a long time to come, but there's some things we probably need to be looking at doing. Zach, as I think about school buildings and how they're utilized, can you talk a little bit about how Riverview is used throughout the school year and then even into the summers and the variety of activities that it does support?
Yeah, and just like Jesse was saying, how this building has been different from a high school to middle school to intermediate and elementary, the same thing is how it's serving kids today. More than just, you know, the 750 to 230. So currently with intermediate school students, so currently right now we have high school kids, we have younger elementary kids coming over all the time. So for example, Riverview is home to our gymnastics team. We also have our dance team there. Community Ed serves it in many capacities. We have archery there, we have SABA, Vets Robotics, summer camps. Are all going on throughout the year. And then we also have Kid Stop. Kid Stop is our child care, so through the Boys and Girls Club. So we have kids after school every day, all the way up till 6 o'clock at night using it. And then boom, Community Ed comes in and uses it for those events. And then in the summer, open early in the morning and, you know, stays, you know, later in the evening for families that need the child care. So we have students in there all year round, from early in the morning till, you know, early in the evenings.
Yeah, it's been a great facility for us for this long period of time. I think, though, currently some of the challenges we talked about. Jesse, can you give us some more specifics? I think for the layperson, sometimes there's a challenge in understanding when they hear HVAC system. Could you talk a little bit about what are some of the mechanical issues or challenges with our current HVAC system? And how this can impact the control of temperature and just the overall environment in the building?
Yeah, absolutely. So we currently have 27 original 1969 air handling units in Riverview to control. Our controls are pneumatic or air driven, mm-hmm. Instead of electronics, which means we have to rely on pushing compressed air through the building to control basically our air handlers, our thermostats, and all of our valving for heating. This is a huge problem because we can have air leaks, which are really hard to track down. The general problem then is we get a lot of like runaway heating, damper controls. I mean, sometimes the general lack of controlling through the air handler units themselves, and they're all pretty much due to the pneumatics that we have on them. Sure. We also have a hard time getting replacement parts for this system that is in need of repairs. I have purchased components on eBay's, other auctions, because the service technicians can't even get the parts that we need to work with the original air handlers. All these units are, they're basically a constant air volume style air handler, and they have no variation of speed, and they're really not that energy efficient. The 27 units, due to the design of them, they run 24/7, and I have really no way of shutting them down for fear of freezing them up. I could go on and on talk about air handlers for a long time. But at the end of the day, we have an old, outdated system that's pretty much served its purpose and needs some replacing.
I appreciate that, Jesse, because I think they are complex systems, and I think there's a realization that even I've had over these past 5 to 6 months of even with the complexities of the system, there's that recognition that it is just an older system, and there's more efficient systems and better systems available right now. I think I'm going to grab Joe here and bring him into the conversation, because I think people are always a little bit interested when they hear about this, of what the tax impact can be for our community. So Joe, tax impact wise of the proposed improvements, what would the impact be for our community, and how does the district ensure that we're responsibly using these funds?
Thanks, Mike. Like you said earlier, my name is Joe Prom. I'm the Director of Business Services, and I work closely with Jesse Pagan on how we're going to pay for all the maintenance that our buildings are in need of on an ongoing basis. So this has been a big project on our radar for a long time. The total cost of this, basically full HVAC replacement, system replacement, will run the district about $21.9 million. And that includes a full replacement of our air handling units, thermostats, controls, piping, all those things that Jesse was talking about earlier. And also adds chiller plants, which will provide dehumidification and allow us to temper the air, to take the humidity out, like that Zach was talking about earlier. An electrical upgrade will also be necessary to do all this, to power all this equipment. And that'll also include a backup generator just to keep things running if we lose power. So we did explore many other options when we were looking at what to do to kind of tackle this issue. And this was really the lowest cost long term. There were other ones that maybe would have been lower, cheaper alternatives to install initially, but because they would have cost a lot more for maintenance and a lot more for utilities, the long term holding cost of those was actually going to be much, much more than the solution we're proposing here. But for the owner of a $300,000 home in Sartell St. Stephen District, the tax impact of all this would be $78.49 annually, or $654 per month. And there is a tax impact calculator on our website. It can be found at isd748.org/vote2025. You can just punch in your parcel number, which you can find off your property tax statement or any documents related to your property, and that'll find you the cost specific to your property. We have quite a bit of information available on our website. If you go to the district website, and then right under the About Us on the left side, there's a tab that has some questions and answers and a lot of information about this project.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Joe. As a community member myself, I've already tried this tax impact calculator out, helped me realize what this impact would be for my own home. I know that we see across the state and even our neighboring school district that there's also referendums that are being considered or that are going forward on the ballot. And even for our neighboring school districts, they see a different tax impact based on the referendums they're looking at. How do factors like larger business tax bases or expiring bond referendums from previous years influence the tax impact for me as a community member?
Yeah, there are really a lot of factors that go into the tax impact for residents of our district, and like you mentioned, some others. So we happen to be at a point where this winter and spring, both us and two neighboring districts are going out for different types of projects, improvement projects for some of their school buildings. Our high school building bonds were issued back in 2016 after our voters approved that. And we still have about 15 years of payments left to make on those. So this will be added this is an added project in addition to the tax kind of burden that we currently have. One neighboring district has large bonds that'll be paid off next year, so they're asking voters to make some large improvements with very little increase in taxes from one year to the next, because the bonds that were used to build one of their big schools is falling off, and they're kind of looking to replace them with some different projects.
Sure.
Another district has a much, much larger tax base, about five times our size, and they've got a little more than, they serve, you know, a little more than double the kids that we do. But when you have about five times the property values to spread improvements over, you can get some things done at a much lower cost to property taxpayers. So just a much larger tax base to spread a cost over. And another factor is our tax base is roughly 65% residential, whereas some of our neighboring districts have a lot more commercial and industrial property in the mix to take some of the burden off of, you know, the residential homeowner. So it's not necessarily always an apples to apples comparison when you look from one district to the next. It really, really can vary.
You know, thanks, Joe. Sometimes the complexity of that is almost as complex some days as when we look at new HVAC systems. So I appreciate you making that something that us listeners and community members can have a better understanding of. But I know with any investment, I always want to be thinking about how is this going to impact us for a long time. So I'll pose this question to Joe or Jesse. How does this investment in Riverview Intermediate School, you know, help tackle those deferred maintenance costs, those issues that we might be impacting us right now? And why are these important for the building's future? How will these updates preserve Riverview? Because it's a vital educational facility in the Sartell-St. Stephen community, and prevent more costly repairs down the line.
I can answer some of that. You know,
sure.
We've made many improvements to Riverview over the past several years. And when we issued bonds, we not only built a new high school with them, we also remodeled our old high school into a middle school and made Riverview a third through fifth grade intermediate school. And it's really a fantastic educational space for those age students. We've built a new media center within that, improved the STEAM lab, provided additional FIED space by filling in the pool and putting in a really great educational space there. So from an educational standpoint, we've tackled a lot of things, and the year-to-year stuff we like to do with our long-term facilities maintenance.
I think the HVA system is pretty much the largest hurdle we need to clear in order to best use our year-to-year maintenance dollars to keep our buildings and grounds at a high level, and to prevent any more deterioration of our facilities. We are currently just doing the bare minimum to let this old, outdated system along, because any significant investments we make on it right now will be a waste of money until it's replaced.
Yeah, and we've been dealing with this issue for a long time, and we know that the cost is just going to keep going up the longer we wait to make a full system replacement.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I wish we had more time, so we do have to finish up now. I want to thank Zach, Joe, and Jesse for sharing their insights and the expertise today that we've learned so much from. It's clear that Riverview Intermediate School has been a vital part of our community for decades, serving not just as a place of learning, but truly a hub for activities and connections throughout all these years. Addressing the HVAC challenges and investing in these upgrades isn't just about improving air quality, it's also about ensuring that Riverview continues to be a great and efficient environment for our students, staff, and families for years to come. This project does represent a commitment to our long-term vision for education in Sartell-St. Stephen, balancing some of the immediate needs with careful financial stewardship, where excellence has always been our tradition. As we approach this important referendum, I encourage all community members to stay informed and to stay engaged. Absentee ballot voting begins on December 27th, or please go out and vote on February 11th, 2025. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Saber Speaks. I hope you'll listen to my interview with Principal Kusler and Activities Director Thompson on question number 2 of the referendum. We'll see you next time.